نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. عن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله عزني وأوجز. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قمت إلى صلاة فصل صلاة مودع، لا تتكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا، وأجمع الأياس مما في أيدي الناس. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected elders, friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I narrated a very, very short, brief hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith may be short and brief, but it is very, very comprehensive in its advices. The hadith is narrated by an illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His actual name is Khalid. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijrat from Makkah al-Mukarramah came to Madinah al-Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed almost 14 days in Quba. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to Madinah al-Munawwara. From Quba, when he was proceeding to Madinatul Munawwara, it was the wish and desire of many residents of Madinatul Munawwara that they have the honor to host Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They formed a long queue all the way from Quba going to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mounted on his camel, and as he is passing by, one sahabi will say to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, come to my house. The camel would go forward. Another sahabi would say, Ya Rasulullah, my house. Another sahabi would say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, it will be my fortune if you come to my house. Some sahaba would actually hold the reins of the camels, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Da'ha. Leave this camel, because this camel is ordered by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to put up wherever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala orders it to stop. Finally, the camel goes and stops right in front of the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala had the honor of hosting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari for almost 6 months. Great illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took part in many wars with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, going towards Turkey in Istanbul, he had passed away fi sabilillah. The mazar, the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in Maqam Ayyub in Istanbul. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu reads this hadith, and he says, one sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, izni wa ojiz. Give me advice, but let the advice be short and brief. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take offense. On one side you ask me advice, and on the other side you want the advice to be short and brief. If somebody would ask us for advice and tell us short and brief, say, bye, sit here for one hour bayan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take offense. In fact, the fact that somebody is asking for advice, that is a very big thing. Especially in the zamana that we are going through, people don't even care asking for advices. Here, one sahabi come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. But oh, Ya Rasulullah, let the advice be short and brief. When somebody asks you for advice, and you're in a position to advise the person. That will be to your credit. If somebody gets guidance through you, it will be your ajar, your reward. In Bukhari Sharif, in the second volume, in Kitab al-Maghadi, in the incident of Khaybar, Imam Bukhari quotes a hadith from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, La ayyahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahid khayrul laka min humurin na'am. O Ali, if one person has to get guidance through you, you have to give some word of advice, say something inspirational to somebody, somebody's life has turned around, then if that person's life has turned around, he benefited, he got guidance through you, then that is better than red camels. Red camels at that time was regarded to be a very, very precious commodity. So what is red camels? Give one advice to someone where there is a turnabout in a person's life. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمُ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When a human being passes away, all his actions terminate with the exception of three. Although he had passed away, he keeps on getting the ajr and the reward for that. And from the three, one is ilmun yuntafa'u bihi. Allah bless somebody with knowledge. The person passes over the knowledge. People benefit through the knowledge. He had passed away, but people are still following his advice and his nasihat. The person will continue getting the ajr and reward in his qabr. So may Allah make us among those people that we keep on advising people, helping people, be a means of guidance for the people. One dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ahdini wahdi bi. Allah, you guide me. Allah, make me a means of guidance as well. So Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala says that this sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, give me advice. Let the advice be short and brief. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the request of the person and gave him three very short advices, but most comprehensive. If we have to practice on these three advices, then it is sufficient to encompass the entire Quran and ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the first advice, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَىٰ صَلَاتٍ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you are about to perform salah, when you stand up to perform your salah, condition your mind that this is the last salat of my life. This is my parting salah. I'm not going to get an opportunity again to place my head on the ground to make sajda before Allah. Imagine if a person thinks that his life will be taken away, this is the last opportunity he has to turn towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, perform salah, place his head on the ground. What would be that nature, that conduct of that salah? He'll perform salah with heart, soul and mind. He'll give the fullest in his salah because he knows this is my last salah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, whenever you are performing your salah, before salah, condition your mind that this is my last salah, is my parting salah. I may not get an opportunity to perform salat again. So give your fullest in this salah. And this advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave is not an imagination. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not telling us to imagine it's your last salah. It is a reality. How often in life we came across people who probably performed salat with us in the same masjid or probably next to us, and in the next salat he was in the qabr, we hear about his salatul janazah. So it's not an imagination, it's a reality. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, when you are performing your salah, then think this is my last salah. I'm not going to get an opportunity again. And let me give my fullest to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, complete devotion and dedication in your salah. In the Quran Kareem, in the 18th juz, in Suratul Mu'minun, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions 10 qualities of the believers through which believers are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers are successful. The Arabic word that is used here is falah. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, in the Urdu language, there is no word to adequately translate the word falah. If that is the condition with the Urdu language, which is more flexible than the English language, where will we get a word in the English language to translate falah? But just to make us understand, it would mean absolute success of the believers. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions 10 qualities. And from the 10 qualities, the first quality Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. There are those people that when they perform the salah, there is khushu' in their salah. There are two terms that are used in the hadith. One is khuzu' and one is khushu'. Khuzu' refers to that concentration of a person from within. That is called khuzu'. And khushu', it refers to that concentration from outside. You don't do anything that causes distraction in your salah. Hadith Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, in Fadail al-Amal, he mentioned an incident of Hadith Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hadith Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was performing salat in his orchard. Obviously that must be nafil salat, not first salat, and with first salat you'll perform in a masjid. So he was performing nafil salat in the orchard. There happened to be a bird that got stranded. It was a dense orchard, and that bird was looking for a way to go out. So he's flying from one end to another end, one end to another end. Zubair radiallahu ta'ala is performing salah, and the flying of the bird, it took away the attention from the salah. And just because of that, after the salah, he said, this orchard has become an obstruction for my salah. My devotion and dedication in my salah, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala gave the entire orchard away in sadaqah in the path of Allah. Not for salat, nafil salat. Give the entire orchard away. We probably would not even give one pen away as sadaqah and compensation for our weaknesses in our salah. Allah grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat to understand the importance of salah. One Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once in the masjid. One sahabi, Khalad ibn Rafi' radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and he quickly read salah. After reading salat, he came and made salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed how he's performing salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied the salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Oh Khalad, go back. Go read namaz. You never read namaz. He did read namaz, but he didn't read namaz. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the way you read your namaz is as though you never read namaz. He read salat for the second time. Again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed him. He come back, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Oh Khalad, go back, perform your salat again, you haven't performed salah. He goes for the third time, and he performs salah. Again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, oh Khalad, go back, perform your salah, you didn't perform salah. Now, he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ya Rasulullah, what are my weaknesses in salat? Where's my deficiency? Teach me how to perform the salah. Now Nabi Kareem taught him the procedure of performing salat through which khushu can come in a person. Khuzu, concentration can come in a person. Among the things Nabi Kareem Sasa mentioned to him, when you are performing salat, that إِذَا أَنْتَ تَرْكَعْ إِرْكَعْ تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا. When you're going into ruku, then make your ruku peacefully, nicely. Don't rush into your ruku. When you stand up from your ruku, then you make your qawma peacefully, properly, don't rush into it. Nabi Kareem told him the same thing when you go into sajda, that إِذَا أَنْتَ تَسْجُدْ فَسْجُدْ تَطْمَئِنَّ سَاجِدًا. You go into sajda, make sajda peacefully. When you come up from sajda, again the jalsa position, you must do it very, very peacefully. The fuqaha, they explain that these four postures, one is ruku and sajda is farz. But when you're coming up from your ruku, that is called the qawma position. In the kitab of fiqh, they say that it is sunnah. But the latter fuqaha mentioned that to do the qawma peacefully, properly, it is wajib. The same also we go into sajda. Between the two sajda, the posture, that is called jalsa. You have to do it peacefully. You rush and you do it. You don't do it peacefully, you're missing out a wajib act. And to do it such, it is wajib. And in order to attain that wujub, that obligation, after going to ruku, coming up, wait for a while. The ulama mentioned, prescribed a zikr for that. Say, Rabbana lakal hamd. Then you should say, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Read this dua. If you don't know dua, at least stand up peacefully. And even you say Alhamdulillah, or you praise Almighty Allah Tabarakata, so just so that you are able to do your qawma correctly, you don't rush into sajda. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. In the books of hadith, there's a very inspirational incident regarding this. Nabi Kareem Sarsam once performed the salah. And when Nabi Sarsam came up from the ruku, one sahabi mentioned, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. So after salah, Nabi Kareem Sarsam asked the sahaba, man ilmatukallim? Who the one that spoke in salah? So everybody was afraid, nobody replied. Nabi Sarsam mentioned, he haven't said anything wrong. And then the sahabi mentioned, Ya Rasulullah, it was me. Nabi Kareem Sarsam mentioned, you know when you said this words, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, according to some narration, we understand is 30 malaika rushed to get the ajr and the reward of the person to preserve it and to take it and present it to Almighty Allah. Just few words, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. In English, if you are translated, it means that I praise Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala profusely, purely I praise Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Likewise, when a person going to sajda, when you're coming up from the sajda, then between the two sajdas, take your time, pause, and at least say, Allahumma ghfirli. At least say, Allahumma ghfirli. You're going to be putting your head before on the ground before Almighty Allah. At that time, before putting your head on the ground and you're saying, Allah, Allah, you forgive me. And then you put your head on the ground, why Allah won't forgive you? Definitely Allah will forgive you. But would that the fuqaha have explained that recite one dua, Allahumma ghfirli, warzuqni, wajburni, wa'afini. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah, give me afiyat. Allah, look after me. These are the prescribed duas to make between the two sajdas. So that the person can make his tamanina, do his, the jalsa in a peaceful way. Many people, they ask questions, they say that, when I perform my salat, I'm just unable to concentrate. How do I bring concentration in my salah? How do I bring khushu in my salah? The moment I commence my salat, then my mind is gone on the highway. So many different things come into my mind. How all you heard the imam saying, Allahu Akbar. And next moment you heard the imam saying, Assalamu alaikum, your mind comes back. What happened between, you don't know. So how do you bring concentration in your salah? One way of bringing concentration is, if you are reading salat by yourself, then I would suggest that the small surahs from surah wa-duha till surah Nas, get a hold of the English version of the tafsir of Mu'arif al-Quran of Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, Allama Shabir Ahmad Osmani sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Go through the translation of wa-duha till Nas. Every day, take out some time, read that ayat, do the translation. Now when you are reading that particular surah in your salah, you are concentrating on the meaning. It helps you to bring khushu in your salah. And if you are unable to concentrate on the meaning, at least put the focus on the words, the actual word you are reading. وَالْدُحَا وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Then focus on the actual word, the pronunciation of the word, that helps us to bring concentration in the salah. And if a person is performing salat behind the imam, many people complain, I'm reading salat behind the imam, but because you don't read anything behind, according to Hanafi madhab, you're not supposed to read anything behind the imam. Yes, according to the other mazhab, you're supposed to be reading Surah Fatiha. But behind, the, according to Hanafi school of thought, behind the imam, you don't read anything. The qirat of the imam will suffice on behalf of the muqtadi. How do you bring your concentration then? So some ulama have suggested, when you're reading salat behind the imam, then one way is that read Surah Fatiha in your mind. Not verbally, don't verbalize it. Read Surah Fatiha in your mind. You're reading behind the imam. So in this way, you're able to concentrate on your salah. And according to some ulama, some mashayikh, if not Surah Fatiha, make zikr sirri. One is zikr jahri, loud zikr, verbalizing the zikr. Don't do that. But in your mind, whilst you're reading namaz behind the imam, make a zikr in your heart, in your mind. And in this way, you'll be able to concentrate and bring khushu in your salah. The second advice Nabi Kareem S.A.W. gave to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لا تتكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا. To the sahabi who asked for advice, don't say anything that you're going to regret tomorrow. See, the tongue that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us, it's a very great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is through our tongue we are able to express our iman. We've got iman in our hearts. We believe in Allah. But how do we express that iman? Through the tongue. Sa'aduddin Taftasari rahmatullah alayh, when he defines the tongue, he says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ اللِّسَانُ وَلَى الْفُؤَادِ دَلِيلًا. The tongue, it is a proof of what is inside the heart. And Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem. He speaks about the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen have got enmity for Islam. And when they talk, you see that enmity comes out from the tongue. So the tongue is something that translates what is in the heart. The very great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We've got iman inside our heart, and through the tongue we're able to express our iman, and we're able to say La ilaha illallah. We're able to say the shahadatain. We proclaim the oneness of Allah and the risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman who is a ghair mahram, before the nikah she's haram. The nikah takes place, and the person, just when he's been asked the question, do you take her in your nikah? In the presence of at least two witnesses, he will say, yes, I take her in my nikah. So what was haram? Just with one word, qabiltuha, nakahtuha. What was haram now becomes halal. And conversely, if a person is in a 50 years marriage, and because of some fight and dispute with the wife, now the words of talaq comes out. Now what was halal, now becomes haram. So tongue is very, very important. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have mentioned, "May yazman li ma bayna al-hayy wa rijli azman lahu al-jannah." Got two things of yours. One is the piece of meat between your jaw and the piece of meat between your thighs. Look after it, protect it. If you are able to control that, exercise taqwa in that. Taqwa in your tongue, taqwa in your private parts, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam undertakes, gives guarantee of Jannah and paradise. There was a hadith, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala, who says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Amlik alayka lisanak. Be the owner of your tongue. Be a malik, be a master of your tongue. When a person, the master, is in control. So we need to be controlled of our tongues, and we need to be careful what comes out of our tongues. This is very, very important. How we look after our tongues, what we speak, what comes out from our mouths. When we look at the life of our pious predecessors, we see, we'll be shocked, we'll be amazed how much precaution they took in looking after the tongues and the mouths. The greatest personality after the prophets is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The position of the prophet is the highest. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the seal of all prophets, but after the prophets, non-prophets, the person that high, the highest stage is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And Allah refers to his level of taqwa in the Quran Kareem of Abu Bakr Siddiq. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. Allah speaks about the fire of Jahannam, and then Allah says that the person with the greatest amount of taqwa who will be saved from the fire of Jahannam, Allah then refers to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine, that is the position of Abu Bakr Siddiq. He's been referred to in the Quran Kareem. His position is the highest after the prophets. But see how he exercised precaution regarding his tongue. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala holding his tongue, pulling his tongue. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala holds his tongue and he tells to Umar, Inna haza awradani fil mawarid. This year, this tongue has put me into trouble in many places. How often, you and I, we said certain statements, had we not said it, we would have been safe from problem. We said it, we put ourselves into hot waters. On one occasion, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he put a pebble on his tongue. Now, if any one of us have to do that, or we have to see somebody doing that, we'll think, what's wrong with him? Anybody put pebble on his tongue? But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is doing that, he's putting a pebble on his tongue. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala, somebody asked him, what are you doing? He says that he just did it to control the tongue. You know, when you put something, a foreign object, something different, you put it onto your tongue, then it becomes difficult for a person to talk. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, to control his speech, he put pebble on his tongue. my sheikh and my beloved teacher, Mufti Abad Khan Puri Sahib, Madazilluhu, he said it was as though Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu put a locking system on his tongue. The locking system. Nowadays you get many things, you need to lock it. So he put a locking system on his tongue. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made a very profound statement. He said that if there's anything that deserves to be prisoned, if there's anything that deserves to be prisoned for a very long time, it is a tongue. If there's anything that deserves to be imprisoned for a very long time, it is a tongue. But when this is out of prison, then it puts us in prison. Another very great person, Ta'us, very great muhaddith, he said, he referred to a tongue, he said, you know this tongue, it's like a predator, a wild animal. I have to tie it up. If I leave this wild animal loose, then it will get loose and it will tear me apart. And that's exactly what the tongue should do to us. It's like a wild animal. We leave it free, it actually tears our lives apart. How often we say certain things, that life has become very miserable for us. Another very great person is Rubay ibn Husayn. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned about Rubay ibn Husayn, he was a tabi'i, that he says, لو رأك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا أحبه. Had Nabi Kareem seen you, Nabi Sahib would have loved you. He was a person who used to guard his tongue so much that for years on end, after the Isha Salah, he would take a pen and paper and he would analyze that what I have said in the day, and he would note it down. Another great muhaddith, Hassan ibn Abi Hassan. Great muhaddith, very learned, great person. One day he was walking somewhere and he saw, before that there was no building, now there's a building. So he asked, just asked one question, when this building came up, he said whatever he had to say. The true you and I is not a serious statement. You see, there was no building and suddenly a building came up and you ask, when did the building come up? But to him, it was a serious statement. What was the need for me to ask this statement? Why did I take the tongue out? Why did I take the statement out of my mouth? And because of that, he vowed, he took a nazar to fast for 1 year just because he said something that was not necessary for him to say. These are our akabir. This is how these incidents are said, so that it could be, we will not come to that level, but at least we will understand the importance of how we should look after our tongues. Hadha Maulana Shafi'i Thanvi Rahmatullahi, in advising about the use of the tongue, he made a very nice statement and he said that pehle tolo, fir bolo. First weigh, then talk. Pehle tolo, fir bolo. Hadha Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib, the great learned person from India, he was the ustad of Hadha Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullahi said, one day I went to my ustad, Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib, and Maulana told him that, Mufti Shafi'i, today we're going to talk in Arabic. Now, normally if you and I want to talk, we may know Arabic, but we normally talk in our mother language, because we are fluent in our mother language. We talk in English. And Mufti Shafi'i Sahib was surprised that every time I talk with Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib in Urdu, why today I must talk in Arabic? So he asked. Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib, and Maulana told him, you see, when we talk in our mother language, words just flow out of our tongue. We don't even think, we just talk. And sometimes we talk things that are unnecessary. So let us talk in another language. We know Arabic, but it's not as fluent as our mother language. And when you talk in another language, you're going to be more careful with what you say. This is the extent how our akabirin, they used to look after the tongues, what comes out from the mouth. Month of Ramadan, the month of taqwa. Allah refers to it, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. But another prescription to attain taqwa. Allah says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. That, oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Bring Allah consciousness in you. One way of bringing Allah consciousness is fasting. In a silent moment, You'll never even let a drop of water go down your tongue, down your throat. Why? Because you are conscious of Allah. Another way of inculcating that consciousness, that Allah consciousness, is look after your tongue. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. It's a means of reformation. It's a means of changing a life. And Allah speaks about the benefit of controlling the tongue. It's a means of our Islam. Allah Himself clearly mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will correct your a'mal. You look after your tongue, everything will be right. You look after your tongue, your eyes will be right. You look after your tongue, your ears will be right. You look after your tongue, your heart is going to be right. You look after your tongue, your hand and feet probably will be safe. Look after your tongue. And most importantly, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you for your guna and your sins. So respect the elders and friends. Very short, brief advice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how comprehensive and how beautiful it is. It's a means of changing our lives. The last advice Nabi Karim gave to Abu Ayyub Ansari, that to the Sahabi, was, وَأَجْمِعِ الْآيَاسِ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. I won't go elaborate on this, but just briefly, Nabi Karim told to him that when you see wealth by someone, richness of someone, make yourself completely despondent of the wealth that is in the hands of the people. In other words, that if you have to rely on anyone, you don't rely on people, you rely on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And in this way, Nabi Sallam draws a comparison between the attitude of Almighty Allah towards His creation and people's attitude towards each other. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is such, Allah gave us without asking. We were in the wombs of our mothers, Allah gave us eyes, Allah gave us ears, Allah gave us mouth. We didn't ask for it, Allah gave it. These are such ni'mats that you can't even put any money to attach to it. And man is such that first you're afraid to ask. And if you ask, if he gives you something, he'll give you. Or if he gives you, he may just say you something. Or he may even refuse you. Allah is not like that. Second, Allah is such, you don't ask Allah, Allah gets angry. Why are you not asking? And man is such that if you ask, one time you ask, fine. Second, third time you ask, so what's wrong with you? There's no limit to your asking. Even if it's a beloved son to a father, the father will say, the son, ask. One time ask, two times ask, three times ask, the father will say, the son, what's wrong with you? You want to finish up my entire treasures? Allah is not like that. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَأَجْمِعِ الْآيَاسِ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. They become completely despondent of what is in the hand of the people. Your focus must be on Allah. Don't your focus should not be on the creation of Allah. Very short, brief hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To revise the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahabi, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى صَلَاةٍ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةً وَدِّي. When you stand toward performing salah, read your salat as though it's a parting salat, last salat of your life. Second, لا تتكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا. Don't say anything that you're going to regret. Don't say something where tomorrow you have to say the person, sorry, maaf, you know, I shouldn't have said that. And the third is become completely despondent of the wealth and the richness that's in the hand of the people. Your focus should be on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on this beautiful advisors of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.